Blog Talk Radio.
The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience. And tonight, we're gathering around the campfire, and we have two of our guests here. Hopefully, we'll have another one. We're talking about yours, mine, and everyone's favorite topic. Well, maybe not. Circumcision tonight. So, we just lost one of our guests. I don't know what happened here. Anyway, I'm sure he'll be back. So, we have Steve McManus with us right now. And thank you for coming in, Steve.
You know, it's Ruthann, it's good to be here. I always enjoy coming on your show. And, you know, it's I think this is a good topic to bring up because I like making people squirm. So I think we'll have fun with this.
Exactly. And now Casey is back. So say hello. Steve's here. And I was telling Steve earlier, we're going to tell our audience that Casey and I happen to know someone who has a real fetish about foreskin.
And
don't we all?
Well, oh, you do too? Others,
which I had never thought much about it till I met an acquaintance of Casey's who is totally obsessed with it. And
I tried to make sure I didn't post too much because I didn't want him calling in, so I was being nice.
Well, that's not a good reason not to post. We need to have people listening. This is a good topic.
Well, I mean, do you want him calling in?
No, I just answer him. I mean, I know how to shut people off. Also, after the show, Casey, post it everywhere because then he can't call in.
This is true. We can podcast it. This is true.
Exactly. Because he, in fact, has gone so far as to offer us, of course, he never paid up, but still, I guess he paid you once.
Right, he did.
A pizza to any of the people he knew or was, you know, considered closer friends if they had sex with someone with foreskin. So there you go, Steve.
I know. I'm thinking of opening a franchise with what I'm owed.
Exactly. Now that you've discovered this.
I know a woman who was in her mid-30s who said to me about 2 months ago, she said it was only like probably 4 or 5 months ago or whatever, maybe within this last year, I guess, that until then she had never been with anybody with an intact foreskin. And she said now that she has, she says, I ain't going back, baby.
Right. Once you go slack, you never go back.
Oh, look out.
Well, I have to admit, I'm relatively new to the game myself. So.
Oh, that's a shame.
Well, you know, I did not realize. I just always took it for granted that everybody's circumcised.
Well, you know what they do with all those foreskins that they take off at the hospital?
Oh, tell us.
Feed them to starving children in Africa?
They plant them. And when they grow up to be 6 foot tall pricks, they turn them into state troopers.
Here you have it, folks. We're just going downhill all the way. That's the way we like it. Yeah, it does sort of roll down there.
Look, it only took 3 minutes to go there, so.
that must be a record.
Well, I am your guest. So.
Well, now, I just found out recently also that 2/3 of the men in the world are not circumcised.
Right, that's correct.
So that was quite a shock. Really, where I grew up, of course, in white bread, Illinois, you know, small town, everyone was.
And you would know, Ruthann.
She would, especially on May Day. Oh, God.
Now, let's not go there either.
While other people were chasing people down after they knocked on their door, you know, May Day ritual, Ruthann tried to tell us she did. We know what really happened.
Now, we did celebrate May Day in the small town I grew up in, and so I was amazed when I found people in other parts of the country that didn't know what it was like or what it was about, you know, the making the baskets, ringing the bell, chasing people down and kissing them.
Kissing them where? Right. Mm-hmm. Kissing
the lips
them.
Or something.
Well, with the current the current social mores and all of our health consciousness, you know, the proper thing to do with a good maypole once you erect it is to wrap it, you know.
This is true. Very
right. And Casey likes traditional red and white, and I like all colors. Hello, Sharon, is that you?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Sharon's here, guys. We've got Steve and Casey.
Another one around the fire, huh?
Another person around the fire. We like the fire. That's where people start really talking about what's happening. But now, okay, Steve, I mean, I guess you're going to just talk about it, and I'm going to out you. You have foreskin.
Uh-huh.
Steve is outed, so he can, you know, go back and hide.
Were the photographs high enough resolution for you? There you go.
Yeah.
Oh. I want copies.
No. I didn't get any copies.
Right. Yeah. We didn't get any copies over here, so
No, I didn't get any copies.
Well, back in 1960, you know, when I was born, now think about the 1960s and how much different a visit to the hospital is now than it was in, say, 1960 with Dr. Kildare and all that crap. You know, my mom, I was her only son, one of four children, but the only boy, and she had to fight with them because they were just going to go ahead and just do it.
That's
you know?
Exactly what they did.
And she had to fight with them, like, you will not. What do you mean? No, because you will not, because they said you're not. And they argued with her, and you know, and she said, you don't seem to understand. I said, no.
Well, I'm surprised that they actually listened and didn't just do it when she wasn't looking or something.
In a lot of cases, is what they, well, not so much nowadays, but in a lot of cases, essentially, that's what they do. They just think, you know, okay, now we need to sign here for the circumcision and all that.
Yeah.
And the thing is.
Yeah.
They will tell you, we're sending troops into this country to save these poor people. No, you're sending troops into that country to do the same thing that soldiers do everywhere for governments, which is to secure income, which is to get the natural resources that you want that are in that country. That's why you're going into that country. It's not to save those poor people.
Right.
Well, it's the same reason that they say, it's the same type of reasoning that they use when they say, well, we're going to go and we're going to circumcise this baby, this male baby, because... It fights cancer. It's you know, because of the hygiene benefits, it makes it look better. They'll give you 19, 20 different reasons, all of which are bullshit. Okay,
right.
What they really are doing is because they're getting $2,500, they can tack onto the bill.
And I just find that absolutely horrid. Now I know that Sharon did try to keep her last son. In fact, she did keep him from being circumcised.
I did.
A couple of years, right? Did you have any trouble at the hospital fighting
that? Okay, well, if I might digress a little, my mother was a nurse, an RN, for 40 years, and she would never have not circumcised any of her kids because she was so indoctrinated. It's all about hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't believe her because she's of the allopathic, you know, generation. And it's just, that's just such a crock, you know? The whole allopath, the turn of the century, the allopaths won out over the naturopaths with Rockefeller at the helm because
right.
There was just so much more money to be made with medicine and machines.
Exactly.
And
right.
People like Max Gerson, they got run out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they killed Tesla and they killed anything that would have benefited humanity. So, I ended up believing her because she did have experience when men get older. It's just that you have to, I felt like I had to spend an inordinate amount of time cleaning the thing, and even the baby didn't want me to spend an inordinate time down there, and he was having infections all the time. I ended up getting a doctor's, you know, a referral, and we whacked it off, and he was about two. But he had had so many infections, and after that, nothing. But, I mean, yeah, that's how it went with me. That's how it went. That's how it went down.
Well, I think that's legitimate. I think the kid's having a real problem, and the simple solution is, you know, because if you get enough infections, you can get to a place where you can start to develop a cancer. And so, yeah, I mean, that's the prudent thing to do. In that case, of course.
But, I mean, you being an uncircumcised person, do you find that you need to take that extra, you know, it needs to, you need that,
I'm not afraid to touch my penis.
Care.
That's what
Thank
my wife
you.
Said. Exactly.
I'm not afraid to
Excuse
touch
me?
My penis, and I'm not
yeah.
afraid to touch it,
yeah.
and I'm not afraid
yeah.
to, in the proper company and in the proper context, to talk about it.
Exactly.
My son and I have, you know, I've had more than one son, but my son and I, it's just a matter of fact. It's like saying, well, how do you comb your hair? Do you part it on the left or the right? Well, you know, and then when, mm-hmm. and it, when you have that conversation with your child, if you're talking with your daughter, teach her the right way to wipe front to back. Talk
mm-hmm.
about her vagina and call it a vagina. This
yeah.
is one of your body parts. Big freaking deal.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
don't
you know,
go
I think
like,
you're...
well, no, your hoo-hoo. Don't touch your hoo. It's not a hoo-hoo. It's a vagina.
I really think you hit something. I think you hit something right off the bat with that because I, being gay, I have a lot of female friends. And,
oh, my God, you're gay? So what's that like?
Oh, my God.
Happy. Happy.
I'm very happy. And with foreskin, I don't have foreskin, but I have foreskin. But anyway, you know, a lot of my female friends talk about, you know, the things that they talk about with their own mothers, and they're very, the talk of the vagina is very commonplace, but men don't talk to their boys about penis, you
no,
know? So
no, never,
I think that's something you hit up. Yeah, I think something you hit upon that is very important if we can start to establish that a little bit more in our,
yeah.
our relationships.
You can't skip a beat. You have to just say, you know, so, because if he'll ask me a question like that, like, what do I do if, and I'll say, well, just, you know, grab your penis, pull back the foreskin, wash it with the other hand while you're holding it back, use soap and water, make sure it's completely clean, and then when you dry off, make sure you dry under there adequately and make sure that you don't leave a lot of moisture under there because otherwise you're going to have problems. Talk about it in plain freaking English and don't be afraid of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong.
Well, I was a negligent mother then.
I wouldn't say so. It doesn't sound like it. It just sounds, you know, the situation was probably different.
Well, yeah,
yeah.
I mean, and that's, you know, you never know. But you were trying to give your child, like, a chance to, you know, grow up and then make his own decision. Another friend of mine who couldn't be on tonight, she did do the battle, and she said to make sure that I mentioned that even on a baby, when they circumcise him, she said the skin, it's about a patch, about 3x5, actually, because it's been folded over on itself. And she said that's a lot of nerve endings that you are just taking out.
Well, for some of us, you know, it's 9x6, but we don't want to go there.
No, a baby. We're not talking about grown size. Yes, it's big.
No, it is a lot of nerve endings. You know, it's high in nerve endings, and it's there are different types of nerve endings in the body, and those nerve endings are very fine and small and very sensitive.
Very sensitive.
And they are
mm-hmm.
they have a job to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, it has its own blood supply, you know, provided to it. There's several different blood supplies at work in the whole penile structure, you know, and so one of those is the blood supply that goes to the epidermis, including the foreskin, and the nerves are, it's rich in nerves. And so they have a job to do, you know.
Right.
So, I mean.
And so if you never, like, Casey and I have talked about, you know, we used to hear that thing about, well, you can't miss something you never had, but that's not really true. Because I know Casey, and I'm speaking
for him.
It's
not true.
He misses it. He would like
to. I mean, with my current build, it sometimes looks like I have a foreskin, but I don't. I don't get the benefit or the feeling of it. Now, I do have friends that do, and you know, it looks like so much fun. I want to jump on that ride.
Well, Katie should call in and say your penis is perfectly fine, Casey.
She's a friend of ours
who observes him at festivals.
Right.
Good way to put that. Yeah.
I think that there's a spiritual component at work too, and not to get all kind of wishy-washy on you, but
no.
I think that if you're lacking, there is a potential there. And I think this is certainly open for debate. I'm not speaking as an authority on this, but my take on it is that if you're lacking in certain nerves that give you that ability, where, you know, sex, as we all know, can be a very spiritual experience. In fact, if you're studying Tantra, you know it's a very spiritual experience. And it is simply a vehicle to get you to a place, and it's important. And some of those nerves that you're missing make it that much harder for you to relearn a way to get there, whereas if those nerves were intact, you would be very much in touch with all of those very, not to be, you know, to be kind of punny here, but like those very intimate types of sensations that you don't get. And I've had those conversations with different men. You know, I've been fortunate enough to be with adult friends who actually act like grown-ups and can actually talk about stuff. And I've you know, we've compared those notes, and they say they don't get those types of sensations. They don't even know what I'm talking about. And I'm like, well, because it isn't there, dude.
Yeah.
And you've spent your entire childhood with an unshrouded penis inside of your clothing, getting desensitized because the glands, which is the head of the penis, continually gets rubbed around on the fabric of your clothing, underwear or whatever.
Right, and a commando becomes, on jeans.
Right, and it becomes desensitized. Whereas a kid with a foreskin, that the glands is completely protected at all times. So the sensitivity to it remains intact. It isn't desensitized. So there's a big difference, and I think it impacts someone's spirituality in terms of how they have a spiritual experience when they are using that in conjunction with a sexual experience.
Okay, and maybe work a little harder to get some rewiring that isn't there anymore.
Oh. They end up having to compensate abdominally.
Mm.
If they don't have the abdominal tension, you know, which would go along with even the most almost imperceptible thrusting, you know, muscle spasm, then they can't reach orgasm. They can't reach orgasm. Whereas people that do have a foreskin, they don't need that. They don't have to have that sensation.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, Casey,
I was right. I hate you. What's your name again? I'm creating a voodoo doll right now.
He's going to Google Earth me in a minute.
I am.
I've heard Casey say that he would sue if he could. You know, either his parents.
Some people have reassignment surgery, though. Did you know that?
No.
But where do you take that? What do you mean?
They have a reassignment surgery. They can put one on you.
Yes.
I'm not sure where they take it from. I think I'm not sure where they get, you know, the tissue, if it's from your own body or if they take it from, like, I know that they have burn victims that need lips redone on their face, they take it from the you know, the vulva area, and you can't tell. And maybe they do something like that, but you would need a perfect, you know, biological match.
Yeah, and a lot of it.
Not me.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know somebody who's slated to get a penis implant. He did a tour in Iraq, but he came back and he was on a motorcycle, got hit by a car, and he's got a pole for a leg. But apparently, he got messed up in that region also, and he needs to put a shot. I mean, inject something for him to get hard. So he's slated to get a penis implant where he can just push a button and he'll get hard. And I don't know.
That sounds like a shame.
Wow. That sounds.
That's often meant for people with long-term diabetic problems where they become impotent because
the vascular system is shot to hell.
Right. Yeah. So what a shame for him. I mean, hey, at least there's something that can be done anyway. I have to say that much. But I don't know. I've never heard of the foreskin reassignment surgery. Not that I'm going to look towards that, but you know, I have heard of people say, oh, if you vacuum it enough, or, you know, you hang weights on it and let it hang down and all of that sort of thing, you can stretch it back out. But I've decided not to go in that direction, although, you know, it might be fun for a night or two of play, but I don't know if I could do that on a regular basis for some sort of a, you know, repayment of my life anyway.
Pretty kinky.
Yeah. And I don't want you getting, because you'd probably want him to take skin from me or something.
Well, that's what it would be. I mean, we'd definitely be taking skin from you.
Yeah, so. I know. So I think you're gonna live with what you have, okay?
Speaking of skin graftings, I saw that article in the paper the other day. Actually, it was online. that little kid there that was in that fire. I don't know if you read it, but he was burned over 40% of his body.
Hmm.
And one of the things he lost was his eyelids. And so they took foreskin and they grafted it on and made new eyelids for him. And, you know, he's a little cockeyed, but he'll be all right.
Oh, God.
Cockeyed.
Wait, Ruth Ann?
I've heard that before, and I couldn't, yes.
Ruth Ann, are we sure that Michael is not on our show tonight? That was a Michael joke right there.
But Steve isn't obnoxious. See, there's a difference.
Now, there are, I mean, to go on a lighter side for just a moment here, you know, there are very interesting different names for foreskin in different languages, and I know a few just because of my friend. And I named my my film production or my video production studio after one of them, and that's Fitchma. So,
mm-hmm, right,
exactly, Fitchma
yes. Films. So,
but, you know, the old Yiddish word, which is schmuck. When you call someone a schmuck, you're basically telling them, you know, they're a dumbass, like they're not worthy of your time. You schmuck, get out of here.
Yeah.
Well, schmuck in Yiddish means it specifically refers to the foreskin in its state of being cast off. Once you've cut it off, it's not worth it. It's not good for anything, so you throw it away.
It's schmuck.
It's the useless part of the penis. So you're a schmuck. You're useless. You're not worthy.
I don't know how useless it is because I'm starting to feel bad, you know, that I didn't take that extra time and was more adamant about being, because it seems the way he described it is akin to a general mutilation where you can't really feel orgasms anymore, and it's just horrible.
I don't think that's
no,
the case necessarily, thank God. But
you can feel orgasms. They may be different.
Yeah.
Just like women who have had the FMG done, now depending on...
And FMG is what? Because, Ruthann, you love to use those terms.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Them
genital mutilation,
uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
They either cut the clit off or they...
Oh!
And
well, full female circumcision involves complete excision of the clitoris.
Mm-hmm.
It also involves complete excision of the labia majora, which are the outer labia of the
yeah.
Right, and then all you're left with is the labia minora, which is the actual opening, and that is sewed up to leave a small hole so you can urinate,
and the blood from your period can come out,
right, and that is so that they can remove any and all traces of any opportunity for pleasure.
Exactly.
That would be akin to castration. That would be just akin to castration for a man. Yep.
Yeah,
it basically is,
disturbing.
And that is that is usually done. Now this sounds really sensationalistic. It sounds sensationalistic, and it sounds like propaganda, but in fact, it's true. It's usually done with minimal or no anesthesia.
Anesthetic. No.
Right.
No.
Right, and usually at a young age, but usually at an age of like say 4 or 5.
Yeah. And a piece of glass or something.
And a lot of times it's just like some woman in the village does it, maybe with something that's, you know, rusty, whatever. And then
usually just a razor blade, yeah.
Diverts and stuff. A lot of them, people die, and infection, of course, is rampant. Right. And then a lot of the infection causes other things, and the late girls are sterile. And
well, the biggest problem right now in third world and in the Middle East is fistula, which is a... kind of like a herniated opening of vagina because of these problems, because of these practices. And men are the last word. The man who is responsible for that woman, husband or father or whoever, they determine, because of their culture, they determine if there's anything to be done, not somebody medical.
Right.
And so these women don't get any care. They don't get any care. Many of them, as you say, they die of sepsis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do want to make it perfectly clear that that is not a religious thing. It is a cultural fact.
It's a control thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But you know, some people try to, you know, make it into the religious thing. It was cultural long before.
Well, it's not just their culture. Some of these women have had the opportunity and the means to escape and immigrate here and ask for asylum on the basis of I don't want that done to me, and been refused and deported where it was done to them anyway.
Yeah. And so, I have read where some doctors here, usually of the same culture, do it.
Yeah, there are doctors here that will do it, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So
that's tantamount to child abuse.
So when you said mutilation, Sharon, it is a mutilation. But I wanted to give the other side. Even we had a few men I talked to who have been and were trying to get them to come on, and they didn't want to come and talk about it. But a couple different ones, one in a PM to me and one on my Facebook page, said that they think that it, like it's a, some kind of a deformity, the way men or babies are born. And they both said that it's ugly. And they're so glad that they were.
Well, you know, I mean, okay, are we all trying to be, I mean, are we all trying to make it onto the cover of the porno box? You know, it has to be perfectly presentable. I mean, are you kidding me?
I think that to them it just looked different because they're, again, they were from this country and they haven't been around that many people who didn't have it done.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks unusual to them.
Well, the amount of shame that goes along, I've never been ceased to be amazed of the amount of shame that is inherent and prevalent in the Western culture when it comes to sex, especially among men, where if you're in a shower in the locker room, and, you know, and Casey may be able to relate to this, especially since he was already probably being scrutinized because they figured he's one of them damn queers, you know.
Yeah.
That type of thing. And you, God forbid, you touch yourself in the shower to try to clean because you faggot, you're touching your dick. Yeah. It's like, really? Are you? How would you expect me to clean it then?
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing. I mean, that you can't even take a shower without getting ridiculed because you touched your parts. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just, I'm not talking necessarily just from personal experience. I mean, I have seen this throughout my life amongst many different men in those situations where it's always been like that. You know,
did you know that there are homosexuals in every animal species, but there's homophobia in only one?
Thank you. That was nice. Thank you.
That was very nice, very true, very good, Sharon.
For sure.
Yeah, I've just been fighting with somebody on Facebook about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, people need to get over that. And that was what someone told me when I said something about, you know, going to do this show or that, you know, we've been having this discussion. And he is a straight person who said, well, I think it's just the gay guys that are more concerned with not being circumcised. And do you think that's true?
I mean, I don't know.
No, come on. We know you know every other gay out there. Tell us.
Right. I know. All gays love a good foreskin. I mean, anything you can blow into and blow up like a balloon from time to time is fabulous. But, I mean, yes. Okay, so it is like a toy. So, of course we like it. We're like children. But not everyone, no.
No, because two guys I know, one of them told me, well, I'm circumcised and so is my lover, thank God. And he also thought that it looked sort of funny.
That's horrible.
I know. I should have you have a chat with him.
Well, the thing is that they can, you know, I understand a preference thing, but the thing is, if you're ready to do, quote unquote, do business in a sexual way, right, the foreskin's no longer around for you to deal with. It's out of the way now, folks.
Yeah.
Not every time. I will say that's not the case in every situation. But yes,
for the most part, it's pretty much out of the way.
Yeah, you don't even really realize it. I mean,
right. I remember going to Williamsburg and seeing a presentation of wax figures and so forth, and they actually talked about the fact that Sir Walter Raleigh had a thing going with the Queen, and he was a explorer. And when they would get together in England, one of the things that he had done was he had a piercing done into his foreskin so that he could put a brass ring into it so that he could tie a chain to the brass ring that went around his waist that would hold his foreskin back so that it wouldn't smell. So the Queen would be pleased.
Wow. Now, he was piercing back then. I mean, we know a lot of people who have their penises pierced, and we see them at the festivals and things, you know, and it always just looks so painful to me.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I'm all set with the piercing of the penis, yeah.
Yeah. Casey, that's what you can do. Instead of getting a new foreskin, you can pierce your penis.
I'd rather suck on a 9-volt battery, you know.
Well, you know. That's also actually fun, but that's neither here nor there. That's a different roundtable conversation. Right. But, you know, you live with what you got, but, you know, no regrets, right, at this point. There's no reason for it, but, you know, we can wish. And what we can't have in ourselves, we'll find in others. So
Do you think? Now, I understand now that because it's, like you said, $2,500 to have a little baby circumcised. But when we started doing that in this country, why? They weren't making that much money then. And you can't put it all off on the Jews and the Muslims because they're a minority in this country.
Maybe it's a hygiene thing. Like I said, my mother was
hygiene, like
40 years.
He believed
40
it.
Years of working with geriatrics and everything, and she said that there's just too much, I guess.
And it's pure.
When you got people taking care
mechanical.
Of older people, they're not going to spend a lot of time, you know, they're not going to spend the time cleaning them like that, you know.
Well, what about this, you know, let's look at our culture, even way back in, you know, I don't care if it's 1800s, 1900s, it doesn't matter. What the vast majority of people in this society, in this culture in the West, which is industrialized, and we are not the people on the other side of the planet. We're very much different. We're all about shame and blame. We all carry that baggage with us. And they circumcise kids, I think, in part institutionally, because the parents then don't have to go home and keep fiddling with their kids' penis and talk about it as a result, because we don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
Nobody wants to talk to their kids.
Absolutely.
They send them to sex ed in school so they don't have to talk to their kids about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm sorry. That's pathetic, people. That's pathetic.
We shouldn't have to have sex ed. And now we've got all these right wingers that are trying to, you know, make sure we don't have sex ed. But they're not teaching their kids anything either.
No, they don't want anyone to talk about it at all. It doesn't need to be dealt with. Just, you know, ignore it and it'll go away. That's the fast track to rampant teenage pregnancy right there.
Yeah,
it's not 1950 mm-hmm. anymore. So, yeah, I think, you know, I have felt most comfortable in my life just being very out there about any topic of that I can. And sometimes I get myself into trouble because I'll talk about things in places that maybe I shouldn't or whatever. But, you know, I've always felt very comfortable taking that risk. And I found that more times than not, it has actually paid off. It's not. It might have been a risk, but it was a risk worth taking at that point. And with a topic like this, even I don't have children or anything like that. But my God, I mean, this would be something I would, if I were to have children. You know, those Ruthann and I talk about this all. The ones of us who don't have children probably should have. you know, I would have no problem. In fact, I would encourage myself to talk very openly about these topics. Boy, just what you said about the shame. I mean, just to counteract that at any level is worth more than a lot of the education that they're getting right now. So
right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm a very outspoken, shoot from the hip person. I firmly believe if people were outspoken and just said what was on their mind, like Tourette's or whatever, there wouldn't be a need for psychiatrists because everybody's backstabbing, just talking behind their backs, and you just go, "What's wrong with me?" You know?
Yeah.
And it's just sad. It's really sad.
It is sad.
Just say what's on your mind. Just let it go.
Yeah.
One of the things that helped me form my opinions about all this is when I was a kid, I was listening to an interview with John Lennon, who I miss. And they were asking him about the homosexual question. Gay hadn't even been born yet. That phrase wasn't born yet. And he said, his response was, well, you know, we sing about love, 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 and we mean it.
Mm-hmm.
And as a little kid, I was like, yeah, you know.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, he spoke volumes. It's like, you know, and he went on to say there's not enough love in the world, so where you do find it, why how could it ever be bad in some cases?
Right.
How does that work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
We need more, not less.
We need more of it, exactly.
Yeah. Did your friends, the little boys you grew up with, Steve, were you, since your mother fought tooth and nail to make sure you weren't circumcised, were they circumcised?
Pretty much all of them.
Yeah. Did they ever, did they make fun or did they ask questions or?
Nobody really asked questions. I think once or twice, you know, somebody said, you know, like they tried to make, you know, kind of pick on the odd man out type thing.
Yeah.
But I didn't care. And it was not a, you know, I suppose had I had a lot of things going against me, if I'd been the Casper milk toast with the wire rim glasses and the caved in chest.
That would have been something else that would have made.
Yeah. The infantilism type, you know, package, you know, then I would have been, that would have been bad. But I mean, I didn't have all those things against me. I was just a normal kid. And I was like, you know, this is all you get to worry about with your day. Yeah.
Well, I am.
He said infantilist package. Why are
well,
we
that's an actual
about, why are we talking about me again? I mean, once again, the show is not about me, people. Let's move on.
Well, no, a friend of mine years ago is from West Africa, and he was circumcised. And at the boys' school he went to, there was an American boy whose father was a diplomat. And the American boy hadn't been, which amazed me. But the other boys, they teased him, and he was 16, and his father said, okay, you know, because he wanted to be circumcised like the other kids in school. It was horrible. My friend said it was absolutely horrible because, I mean, he was in pain for a long time. I don't know if it was just the way they did it or what, but he always looked back at that as a time when, you know, that teasing got out of, I mean, it got so bad that this poor kid did this.
Until later in life when, you know, when they see that he's got all the French chicks, so.
See? Or like the lady you were talking about, Steve, who said she'll never go back.
Right. She was like, she couldn't believe that.
She's going to be checking out, you know, when she meets guys and the first, you know, you have three questions or something. One is, are you circumcised?
She's one of those types, too. She would actually do that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When there's something that really matters, bring it
up.
We
like a lady who knows what she wants.
Right.
Very good.
Yeah. I just don't. That's what my friend said. So what? Somebody can't take 2 minutes and really clean? Because I find that just so nasty, the whole idea that somebody would say, well, you've got to be circumcised because otherwise you won't be clean.
Well, that's the thing, you know, and it's, you probably heard these phrases growing up, you know, shake it more than 3 times, you're playing with it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you can't stroke it like that because you're playing with it.
Yeah.
No, I'm cleaning it, idiot.
Yeah.
Everything's okay. About playing with it, of course.
Right.
Because
don't
God
touch
forbid
it.
You played with it.
Well, even in the 70s, they had that song, you might remember, Ruth Ann, My Ding-a-ling, remember that?
Oh,
won't you play with My Ding-a-ling?
Yeah, that's for real. I'm not kidding. That was on the top 40.
It
was on top 40, yeah.
I'm going to look that up on YouTube after this.
That should have been your theme song for the night, Ruth Ann.
I remember.
Really? You should have told me before.
But it's always been the ding-a-ling or the hoo-hoo or the peeny or the, you know, your little man, you know. Reminds me of that 3-year-old that I was hanging out at my sister's friend's place at their camp, and the 3-year-old had just learned how to go to the bathroom himself. And he went into she said, well, go ahead. You got pull-ups on. So he ran in there and he pulled him down and he was just tall enough to get on his toes and lean it over the edge of the porcelain and start to pee and the seat came down. And, of course, the seat has standoffs, so he wasn't hurt or anything, but it was like this bang, you know. And he ran out of the bathroom holding it. And he goes, Mommy, seat came down. You kiss it. Ah, you're more like a father every day.
You know, is this another joke or
another?
Oh my God! We don't know the truth. We don't know what's fiction here. That's what happens when you have foreskin. By the way, you tend to be more of a story crafter.
That's it.
That's what I heard, anyway.
It causes echo. It makes you sound more like James Earl Jones.
Here, your husband think about this.
Oh, you're talking to me?
Mm-hmm.
Talking to me?
Oh, no, I don't have one of those.
Okay.
I had three sons, but they all have different fathers, and this one... Wait a minute. Yeah. He was around when he was a baby. We both decided not to get that done. But by the time I did get it done, he wasn't around. He wasn't around right away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He was a bad guy.
He had to agree with you that you wouldn't have it done.
Yeah, he didn't want to have it done because he had four kids in Michigan, and then they had all been circumcised, and we both decided let's not have that done. But then by the time I had the baby, he was in.
Yeah, well, I don't know what that would be like with, if the parents disagreed on that, just the loudest one wins, or does the father win, or what? Wants to and one doesn't.
I don't know. It depends on if they were like these Christian women, they have to be subservient to their husbands. I don't know what happens, but probably why I never could keep a man. I don't think I'd be subservient.
It's like
That was it.
You need, and
Oh God.
Well, it's things are not failures just because they don't last forever.
Right.
Boy,
we've learned that one.
Oh, haven't we? They last as long as they're supposed to.
Exactly.
And then it's time
for
the one. So, well, Steve, did you and your wife, maybe your son wouldn't want his business put out there. Is your son circumcised?
No, none of my sons are circumcised, and I would not allow for it. In fact, it was one of the points of discussion, prior to the arrival of the child.
Mm.
In fact, I'm looking at a CDC report, the Centers for Disease Control. It says that it looks as though that the rates in the United States are in decline now, and I think partly because this type of thing is becoming talked about more openly as opposed to before, when it was just, leave it to the people in the white coats to decide. Right. Well, they're always going to decide on the side of profit.
Yeah, right.
Period.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes. So, now they're saying that the rates are actually declining. For instance, in 99, 62.5% in the United States circumcised. And then in 2008,
56.9%. Wow, that's a huge jump.
And then even lower now.
Wow,
even lower now, yeah.
Okay, I'm impressed. I'm happy. I think that's wonderful.
I do too.
Yeah. It's indicative that people are starting to be thinking and not just like knee-jerk, accepting everything that,
right.
that they're told. They're actually, making up their own mind and going deeper into it.
Some of the white coats are now part of the new, I want to say the new thinking. With this new, and I don't want to use the phrase, I'm going to use two separate words, they're not a phrase, this new age of thinking of, in 1999, the American Academy of Pediatrics declared that there was not enough data to recommend routine circumcision. And then in 2005, which was 6 years later, they reaffirmed that decision. And so the CDC included that in their reports. And because of that decision, parents are now starting to decide to not have it because they've been told it's not required. It's up to you. And so the rate is now declining because more and more people are like, we don't have to do that.
Right. Well, it used to be just like they would put drops in babies' eyes. I mean, they probably still do. They just did it without you saying anything. A baby that was born at my house, the parents didn't want anything done. Mm-hmm. But later when they did go to the doctor, that was done too. It's amazing.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
How? But I'm impressed with those figures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is absolutely amazing, actually. Well, but not really surprising.
No idea.
The rates are higher. The transmission rates are higher, men and women with heterosexual sex. HIV transmission is higher, HPV, human papillomavirus, the one you take the pap smear to try to detect, is higher, Cervical cancer is higher.
It's higher now?
It's higher with no, it's just higher in general because if you have a foreskin. But that goes back to don't touch it. Don't touch it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you do touch it and clean it thoroughly and regularly, then you are far less likely to transmit anything. And you know, I mean, in the comedian Red Fox's words, you know, sex is not dirty as long as you wash.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, honestly, I mean, before having sex, it might be a good idea to go ahead and smell something and, you know, take that as your test anyway, because believe me, it's a good indicator.
Well, the FDA inspectors at meatpacking plants, they get paid to stand around in a bloody long white lab coat. They are given a piece of meat periodically. Literally, this is how it works. I'm not exaggerating. And they take it and they smell it. They put it up to their nose and they smell it. Nope, doesn't smell bad to me. And that's what the FDA uses as their to determine if the meat is any good.
I'm so
there
glad
you have.
Vegan.
There you have it. There you have it.
One more reason why it's a good thing I am.
Yeah.
Isn't that horrible?
But more and more groups are springing up that are saying, if we're not touching girls' vaginas because there's no need for it and it's wrong, then why wouldn't you afford the same thing to little boys?
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
You see what I mean? It's okay for a girl to touch her vagina because that's hot. But it's not okay for a boy to touch his penis because you're a faggot. You know, that drives to this. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You can argue with me
still
if you
are
to.
Homophobic.
It's just like, you know, we think two women together is hot because that's a control issue because, you know, all right, go ahead, touch her now. but if you see two men, oh, my God, God forbid you should see that because that's just horrible. You know, I mean, Barney Frank serving in Congress, the audacity, you know.
How could he?
You know what you do. We know what you do with that mouth.
Well, the lady who's president of Iceland has, she's married to her lady, and the Icelandic people aren't having issues. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, things are changing, yes, thank God.
Yeah.
We got more women in the Senate, but like, maybe about 30 years ago, I had a psychology teacher, and he said, you show me someone who adamantly hates gay people, adamantly, and I'll show you a latent homosexual. So many times, again and again, all those politicians that come out, all those evangelists that come out speaking down about gays, it turns out that they're, in fact, themselves gay. So it's just, it's true.
Yeah,
it's
when people
true.
Protest too much. Yeah.
When my wife went to high school, there's this one kid who was the worst homophobe, you know, find you after school, beat the crap out of you, you know, if you were different or if you were actually gay or God help you if you were effeminate, you know, to any flavor, you were going to go to the pavement. But now he is as queer as a $3 bill, folks.
There you go. Always, I knew that was coming. It's always true.
But like he always was, but that was his overcompensation.
Well, his fear of outing, being inadvertently outed while he was around those other people that he didn't want to be ostracized from.
And that's sad. And he is still then yet a victim of society at that point. Even though he's an asshole, he's a victim of society at that point. Oops, I'm sorry. That's me.
Yeah.
Well, they say if you see something about somebody that you don't like, it's because you're dealing with that yourself. You have issues with that same thing yourself.
Many times. It's just like, you know, if you know a couple and one of them accuses the other one all the time of running around on him, well, you can pretty much bet who's running around.
That's called projection.
And that's
if somebody
not,
says,
not
you know, everybody's a thief,
but
that's because they're a thief. Yeah, that's true.
Mm.
That's projection.
Many times. I mean, I've seen that one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty crazy. What kind of advice would any of you give to people who are just about to have a baby or thinking about it?
Save the foreskin.
Leave the foreskin.
Right, save it.
Save the 25 big ones and
yeah,
that's a lot of money, Steve.
Well, yeah, I've seen it 1,800. You know, it depends on where you are, but I mean, it's four figures, no matter what. It's four figures.
And it, for what? I mean, how long does that take?
It takes about the prep takes probably 10 minutes, maybe, and the actual procedure takes probably 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah. Well, now, what about when a rabbi, does the rabbi actually do it?
Yes.
And he has
training? No, in the hospital, the doctor doesn't.
Well, no, there are some that it's done right there. It's in a sterile area, but they don't have to necessarily do it at the hospital. Rabbis are often trained, you know.
Okay.
And it is... It's a unique situation. It's one of the few religious in the United States. It's one of the few religious things that is conducted that actually delves into another area, which would be healthcare. You know, and it is a healthcare issue. Like, you know, like your case there, where you opted to have your son circumcised for a health reason. That's a healthcare issue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And but it isn't something you should do automatically. It isn't something that should be done prophylactically, you know, and in anticipation that there will be a problem, because there's no evidence to support that there will be.
Right.
If one crops up, then yeah, you deal with it.
Yeah, well, that's what Sharon did. But I don't pretend to be an expert in the religious part of this either, but I do think that people who have had it done to them and whose religion preaches it should maybe, even them, they should stand back and see why it was talked about, you know, thousands of years ago, or a couple thousand.
You mean some of the same, it's the same reason, it's the same exact reason as for many of the dietary considerations now, because back then there wasn't proper, medical health, there wasn't proper hygiene, there wasn't proper storage of food, so now suddenly all of these things have become religious, if you don't do them, you're going to go to hell sort of activities, and people don't even question it anymore. It's the most inane, ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I've had this argument time and time again about many practices, not just, of course, circumcision.
No, it's like Chris Rock says, you know, I can have a pork chop, we got a refrigerator, we got saran wrap, I'm having a pork chop.
Yep. Exactly. So, yeah. have that one, yeah.
But, and I think, Steve, you're the one that said, well, if you would have lived way back and in the desert where there wasn't any water and there's a lot of sand blowing and you would get, you know, sand all over yourself, I mean, maybe it made sense.
Well, I mean... You know, my mom was rather unique, and she used to tell me, she'd read the Inquirer and refer to it as the paper.
Oh,
and, I just read it in the paper. Which paper, Mom? You know, the paper. Which one, Mom? You know, the Inquirer. Okay.
Inquiring minds want to know.
And, you know, I think Casey would get a big kick out of knowing that my mom actually believed that homosexuality was born of the 12 tribes, because there was very little water in the desert between watering holes, and they would lick the sweat off each other, and that's where homosexuality was born.
Oh, that sounds hot.
Wow. I was looking at, I'm like, Mom, really? Yes. No, really.
Oh, that's
okay.
Because they had to lick the sweat off each other.
Well, one more thing you can blame on the Jews.
Send me to the desert.
That's funny. And she believed the paper.
No, she believed it.
But yet she fought to make sure that you weren't circumcised. I mean,
right.
So she, for whatever reason, however, she actually came by a very good view and fought for it. But
well, I think that's a fun way to describe the Orient. I'm going to use that, as a matter of fact, on next week's edition of Gays of Our Lives.
I'm sure you will.
Yes, we're going to have a whole,
licking sweat off of each other because they were in the desert.
The origins of the gay. Right. Very good.
I think it has to do with, you know, your DNA.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Some people are a woman trapped in a man's body, and there's also
no, that's
gray.
Ridiculous. That's just stupid.
Yeah, no. No,
I think some people, because I knew
that's
somebody
true.
Who really felt in his heart that he was a woman.
Well, that's called transgender. Yeah. That's not gay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, no, there's all sorts of shades of gray. There's girls, there's boys, and there's all sorts of shades of gray.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think we're all born bi, and people want to fight me on that sometimes. But, you know,
yeah,
I mean,
that could be true.
We have an inclination of one way, whether it's environmental or whatever, and whatever.
They say all bisexual people have a very high IQ, so I think
yeah.
they might overcome the stereotype.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them, right?
I like bi because they, when they love people, they love them for the person.
Me too. Me too. Yeah. I like that too, actually.
Not for the bits and pieces. And
right.
You know,
I agree.
So,
that's
yeah,
one way to think of it.
Ruthann will find you a good woman yet.
Well, I found a good man, so I'm
oh, okay, this
happy.
Is true. This
so,
is true.
Yeah, well, you know.
One at a time, huh?
Wow, it's already been a whole hour, and we're almost done.
Oh.
We can talk about foreskin for hours on end, I see.
Right. Now, tell me, what's this about the foreskin being a little different shade?
Yeah,
only in some
darker,
people. Only in some people. You'll see that in some men, the genitalia in question are darker than the surrounding areas of the body. Yeah, and not in everyone though. It is not a it's not a universal trait. It's something that a few people do have, but there are some in some women that have labia majora that are darker than the rest of the vulva and the rest of the vagina and the rest of the areas of the body.
Right.
And it's not anything abnormal. It's not anything, inferior or anything like that. It's just a thing that happens. It's,
right.
It depends.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We just want everyone to keep their foreskin. And since other people didn't want to talk about the joys of not having any, we're definitely on the
Yeah,
call.
That's kind of sad. I wanted to talk to someone about the joys. It's fun to have a little whatever. But oh, well.
Right.
Okay. We just know they're a dying breed, so we'll just celebrate that they're
foreskin.
Right.
He said breed.
Yeah. Oh, natural. You're natural man.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yum.
Oh, yeah,
natural
you're so
man.
Sweat, aren't you? First, you have to work up to the sweat, then you lick it off.
Okay.
Well, I like that analogy of like the desert and there's the sand and it was like a necessity, just like those that tribe that drinks blood right out of the ox. They're
right.
in the middle of the desert and there's nothing else. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So
I'm going to use
this
as a porno as an
course.
Idea for my next porno. So.
Oh God.
My pitch. This is my next.
Well, good.
Thing.
You all have helped on the intellectual side of Casey's
right.
next porno. So
this is next one is if I had a first one. You
well,
know?
You did the you.
Well,
one.
I didn't. I wasn't in it. Let's clear that up right
no,
off the
no,
bat.
No, you weren't in it. You were filming it.
A film by Casey starring Oxymoron.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is that a drag queen that's unintelligent and acne ridden?
Yeah.
That's the one.
Right, that's the one. I love her.
Thank you all. They're
all right.
No,
thank you.
We have
education.
Time left. Sharon, thank you for coming on, and I wanted to say that Steve is at www.the-illuminati-network.com.
Correct.
And Casey is at blogtalkradio.com/radioakasha. And I'll put those on our Facebook page.
Yeah, listen to me every Tuesday. By the way, I have a new show. Started this last week, The Gaze of Our Lives, on Radio Akasha every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Thank you. Not to plug myself,
cool.
but I had to make sure it got in there.
Okay.
You can listen to Forbidden America Radio on our network at the Illuminati Network. We're on at 8 p.m. on Monday nights, and we're on at midnight. These are Eastern times. Midnight to 2 on Saturday nights in the weekend edition and at the IlluminatiNetwork.com.
Right.
Great.
Okay.
So, hey, a lot of good stuff on the radio.
Yay.
Yeah.
All right, good night, everyone.
Oh, okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.